trolls come out at night.
Right. Forgot about that. Shame on me.
It's Adam Jones on the Sports Hub. And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero-Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The 0-1 coming to Hernandez. Ground ball to short. Glaber to field and throw in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. Well, Chapman had a good inning. Britton had a fairly good inning. And the kids, up from the minor leagues with all the injuries and the COVID problems, were terrific. In the bottom of the batting order, and the Yankees have won the ball game by the score of 9-1.
The Yankees win 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox over the weekend. Not exactly a great weekend series for the Red Sox. Hasn't been a good week and a half for the Red Sox, to be totally honest, spanning the All-Star break, really going back to that Oakland series where the Red Sox played really well, 3 really entertaining games, and then they're 3-6 since then against mediocre competition at best, to be totally honest. 2 fourth-place teams and the Phillies here at home. We're just over 2 games over 500. So 3 mediocre teams that the Red Sox have played in the last 3 series, and they've lost all 3. They haven't looked good. Boy, this weekend got ugly, especially last night, and that's where we start. 617-779-0985. James has opened the phone lines. You can have that. It will get to you momentarily. We'll get to you early and often tonight. And I just want to ask you, are you pushing the panic button? I am not. I am by no means pushing the panic button on the Red Sox, but make no mistake about it, I have my concerns, and there are issues here that really need to be addressed. I still believe that this team can contend for the pennant. I do, even with these last 3 series where they really have not looked good at all. But the flaws are starting to show, and they're starting to show rapidly for me. And they're starting to get exposed. We know the Red Sox have overachieved this year, but overachieving is not a bad thing. Overachieving is a good thing. Overachieving puts you in the position to say, you know what? We're playing better than we are on paper. Let's go out and improve. And I feel like that's the position the Red Sox are in right now. The overachievement can only last for so long. This is only so sustainable. And then you get to a moment like this in the season where you say, okay, now we're starting to get exposed. Our flaws are starting to really come to the forefront. And now we need to act. So you can either act or you can just say, well, it was fun while it lasted and we overachieved. The Red Sox can go in either one of those directions here. I hope they go in the former. I hope they say, you know what, we've overachieved. We've put ourselves in a position. Now we're going to go out and improve this team at the trading deadline. The flaws are showing up with this baseball team, and it's time to act. There are 11 days to go until the trading deadline, and Heim Bloom must improve this team. What is your number one need for the Red Sox at the deadline? I'll let you know. You can let me know again, 617-779-0985. To me, the biggest issue right now is starting pitching. And it showed up again last night. You know, I know a lot of people have given Bloom credit for bringing in the majority of the starting rotation. But let's be honest, 2 of these guys are not very good. And this is where you notice the overachievement starting to become not sustainable. Martin Perez last night, not good again. He has allowed 25 runs over 30 and a third innings in his last 8 starts. That is less than 4 innings per start. This guy is reverting back into the lousy pitcher that he was before coming to Boston. Alex Cora is clearly terrified of him. He managed that game last night like he was terrified of him. And you know what? I can't say I blame him. Rightfully so. Martin Perez is turning back into Martin Perez. What do you expect? Now, you can say, hey, listen, it's been great. You got a really good first half from Martin Perez. Now it's time to go out and replace him because you see the way this is trending and we know the way this is going. And do I really need to say anything about Garrett Richards, my guy, Garrett Richards? Do I really need to add anything more on that? They need starting pitching. They need pitching, period, at the deadline. If either one of those guys is still available or still in this rotation after the deadline, that's a big problem to me. I understand that Sale is rehabbing. I know Tanner Houck is up, and they're going to kind of use him in this interesting role. He's going to start one game. He's going to be kind of a bullpen weapon in the next. They're going to play some matchups because Houck only has two pitches, and they're trying to, you know, pick spots with him. So you've got some internal options. That's good. That's great. Use your internal options. I hope Chris Sale comes back and gives you top-of-the-rotation stuff. Maybe he will. I will say, the videos I've seen, the videos we've all seen, he looks damn good. The reports on Chris Sale are damn good. But you still can't count on that. He's coming back from Tommy John. So as good as he looks, you can get excited about it. You can say, you know what, this would be great if Chris Sale came back and gave us something. That's awesome. But you still need to go out and improve this team at the deadline and say, I can't count on Chris Sale to give me that. I can't count on Tanner Houck to give you, you know, to be a, you know, every fifth day starter for this team. If they both do, that's great. That still doesn't preclude you from going out and adding a big league pitcher, a middle of the rotation guy, somebody who can be more reliable every 5 days than Martin Perez or Garrett Richards. Those guys are available. Go out and get it done. That's not going to cost you too much in the way of prospect capital. You can get a Nathan Eovaldi for a Jalen Beeks. You can get a Jake Peavy. Yeah, sure, you gave up Iglesias there, but he was already blocked. You can get a guy like that at the deadline. I'm not saying you need to go out and get Jose Berríos, as much as I love Berríos. The guy's a stud. He's a complete stud. But it doesn't sound like the Twins are going to move him, and you know, I don't think the Red Sox would pay the prospect capital for that anyway. You don't need that guy. You can get a Danny Duffy, a Matt Boyd, somebody like that. And you can improve your team. You can. That can be done. And over the next 11 days, Chaim Bloom must improve the team because the clock has struck midnight on the imposters on this team. Garrett Richards, imposter. Martin Perez, imposter. You got as much out of them as you possibly could have hoped, particularly Perez. My God, he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball in the 3 years leading up to his arrival in Boston. He gave you a really good first half. That's great. Don't count on him ever again. That would be foolish, but that's the joy of overachieving. That's the benefit of overachieving. You take that performance for a first half of a year and say, that's great. Now we're going to go and add to this. Now we're going to go really put ourselves in a position to maybe contend for the pennant. So I'm not pushing the panic button. I'm not. It's an ugly series, ugly three series for the Red Sox. The flaws are starting to show up. You're starting to see their issues, but they can be addressed. I firmly believe that they can be addressed and they can be in the mix to win the pennant. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm not predicting that they will. All I'm asking is that they be in the mix, and I think they've positioned themselves for that. One other note here before we get to you. You got to improve first base. Oh, my God, Dahlbeck. Not a big league player right now. I'm sorry. He's just not. He has struck out 99 times in 250 at-bats. The experiment is over, folks. He should be in Worcester. Send him down there. But again, addressable. You want to go out and add Anthony Rizzo? Probably won't cost you too much in the way of prospects. Maybe a middling guy. But are you going to be willing to pay the $7 million he's got left owed to him this year when you're up against the CBT? That's a question that needs to be asked. That's a question that needs to be answered. You want Anthony Rizzo? I think he's a perfect fit. You bring in Anthony Rizzo to this team. You replace Bobby Dahlbeck. You go out and add a starting pitcher. Now we're cooking with gas here. You're right in the mix of that. But are they going to be willing to do that? Reading today from SportTrack, they track baseball salaries, sports salaries. Red Sox are $1 million off of the CBT. Going to be willing to go over the CBT? Let's see that. Let's find out. But those issues are easily addressable. First base, pitching, hell, even bullpen. You want to add a bullpen arm? You can do that. Let's see if they do it. 617-779-0985. Chris is in North Smithfield. He's leading us off tonight. McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Very simply, you're 100% correct. I think you need to think of Chris Sale more as, nobody hate me at this, but more like a Jeff Suppan ad. He's a guy that may give you two or three games here and there, but one false move and he's cooked. He looks great. He's amazing when he's on, but I think if he gives you, even if he gives you 70% of what he can do, he's still better than Martin Perez. And I don't think they need a top of line starter, like you said. I think it's more, they probably just really need somebody who can maybe be that fifth guy. And also they definitely need middle of the relief support. I don't see, I mean, I can't remember his name, but the right-hander who throws nothing but changeups, curveballs.
Workman. Workman. Yeah, it's done, Chris. Workman's done. He's cooked. Thanks for the call. His fastball's gone. Yeah, he's still got the hook, but he's throwing 89. It's the way it is. He's done. He's cooked. You're right, though. They need a professional pitcher, somebody who can take a turn every 5 days, and somebody who's better than Martin Perez and Garrett Richards. Doesn't have to be elite. You don't have to pay that, you know, that freight and prospects. Doesn't have to be Berríos, as much as I love the guy. Doesn't have to be Germán Márquez, who I really like, too, and he's got some term, so I'd be willing to give up a little bit more there to get a guy like Márquez. You just need somebody who can take a turn in place of Perez or Richards, a Danny Duffy, Matt Boyd, somebody like that. That's not too much to ask from a team who I understand is looking long-term. They're looking big picture here, and that's good. But you don't have to mortgage the future to go out and get guys like that I just mentioned, Duffy, Boyd. Yeah, you will not be mortgaging the future to get them. So go out and get them. Do it. Terry's in the car. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I
want
to know what you thought about the Sox possibly putting in the kid Garrett Whitlock from the bullpen and giving him a few starts. I really like what I've seen with him out of his long relief game this year, and I think that if Perez and Richards keep going south, Garrett Whitlock might be the answer. Thanks.
Terry, Whitlock is Heim Bloom's best move. Where the hell did they find this guy? It's remarkable. He's a total diamond in the rough. I think they're onto something here. I do. Whitlock has been fantastic. He was good again last night coming in that situation that Perez left him. It's just he's a really, really good pitcher. It's just not going to happen this year. They're managing him really differently. You have to understand he was a Rule 5 guy, so they can't send him down to the minor leagues. Garrett Whitlock would be in AAA this year if it weren't for the fact that he was drafted in the Rule 5 draft, which prevents the Red Sox from sending him to the minor leagues. If they did, they'd have to offer him back to the Yankees. Of course, the Yankees would take him. Of course, they'd say yes. So they're picking their spots, and he's coming off of Tommy John, so they don't want to load too many innings off on him. He will be a starting pitcher for this team. He's got three pitches. He's going to be a starter next year. It's just probably not going to happen this year. They might use him in some more high-leverage situations. They might get a little bit more aggressive with him. They might use him and Houck in kind of creative ways to, you know, kind of pick two, three-inning really high-leverage situations, really high-leverage spots. Maybe, you know, to piggyback with Sale when he comes back if he's only going five innings. Then you turn it over to Houck, who comes from the right side with the slider instead of Sale with the left side from the slider. Or you turn it over to Whitlock, who's a righty, is going to be facing a, you know, right-handed heavy lineup. They're going to pick spots. They're going to pick higher leverage spots for him. It's just not going to be as a starting pitcher this year. That's just the way it is. I think they're handling the kid correctly because they've got something here. This is a long-term picture with Garrett Whitlock, not a short-term picture. He's going to help you out a little bit in the short term. It's just not going to be long-term. But my God, they found, I mean, bravo to Heim Bloom. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, finding Whitlock in the Rule 5. Rule 5 guys are almost never this good. This is, what a tremendous find. I mean, it's just, really, spectacular. Larry's in Boston. What's up, Larry?
Hey, McCarthy, you got to give to get. You want Heim Bloom to do something at the deadline, you're going to have to come up with a lot more than Jeter Downs. For the same reason you want to move the guy, no one wants him. You're not going to get a bag of balls for him. He's no good. He's probably worth 25% of Franchi Cordero and 25% of Zero.
Yeah, Larry, it's not that strong. Trust me, Downs' stock is down. But he's still more valuable than Franchi Cordero. He's still a top 100 prospect in baseball. I'd make him available, though. I would. The reports on him have not been good, really, since coming into the Red Sox organization. He did not really impress at the alternate site last year. And the guy's hitting .213 in Worcester this year. So if you can get something, and I want a player with term, but I'm telling you what, if you get, you know, Berríos or Márquez, you want to make Downs available on that deal? Yeah, because Berríos has a year and a half left. Márquez, I think, has 2.5 or 3 years left at this point. You want to make Jeter Downs available in a deal for a pitcher who has term? I'm all for it. You go for it. You sell, you know, before his stock falls even farther. Not to mention you just drafted a shortstop, fourth overall. I'm all for making Downs available, but let's not go that strong. Like, I mean, he's still more valuable than Franchi Cordero, that's for sure. I do want to, though, dive into a little bit on the Mookie Betts trade. Because Alex Verdugo, he had himself a weekend, and Alex Verdugo has been moved down in the lineup tonight. And there are a lot of people calling this trade a win at the beginning of the year. I'm not so convinced about that now. We'll get into Verdugo. We'll get into your thoughts from the Yankees series over the weekend. We still have actually a couple open phone lines, so grab them. Why not? 617-779-0985. McCarthy and Fermaz on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know Alex, and he needed time to breathe, you know, and to get his thoughts, you know, like, and it seems like nobody was listening to me, you know, like, you imagine getting through with an object in a sport event and you got to be out there right away because we have to continue to play the game. You know, like that part, I didn't agree, but you know, Alex was okay with it, but you know, it's like, you never know. And I mean, what if he jumps the fence? What if he goes out there and he attacks someone who, whatever, you know, it's just, that's what I was telling them, kind of like, just give us a chance to collect our thoughts, you know, breathe a little bit, and then we go out and play again. So that was the whole thing.
Alex Wall after the game on Saturday. Alex Verdugo getting hit by the ball, talking about his approach and why he took the team off the field. It was the Mass General Hospital sound clip of the day. At Mass General, your health and safety are our highest concerns. Please don't delay your preventative screenings and follow-up care. For information on in-person and virtual care, visit massgeneral.org. You know, a lot of the conversation in the talk has been about Verdugo and his reaction to getting hit by the ball. And by the way, I think Cora did 100% the right thing. It was obvious Verdugo was heated. I mean, Cora said it himself. I was worried he was going to go into the stands. I'm paraphrasing there, but he needed to cool Verdugo down and as a result, his team down. So a lot of the discussion has been focused on that and that incident, rightfully so. But what I think is getting lost in all of this is the discussion about Verdugo, the player, who has been dropped in the order tonight. He's batting sixth. Jaron Duran, who has, what, like 8 big league at-bats or something like that? Maybe? 2 games, whatever the total is? He's hitting second. No pressure, kid. You just came up from Worcester. You're going to bat second for the Boston Red Sox. Probably helps that Martinez and Bogarts are protecting him. But still, no pressure, right? Verdugo has struggled in a big way. Really, since the middle of May, his batting average has dropped 30 points. And this is a critical, critical guy for the Red Sox. And I don't think people are paying enough attention to his underachievement. Or is it really an underachievement? Like, you have to ask yourself, who is Alex Verdugo, the player? I think he's a good player. I think he's kind of a glue guy. He's an energy guy. He's kind of like Andrew Benintendi, but more of a hothead. And that's a good player. That's a valuable guy to have, but that's not a star. He is a fine ball player, and there's nothing wrong with that. A perfectly fine ball player, a good ball player, and I think the type of guy that you have on a winning team, but he is not a star. And I think some Red Sox fans were quick to anoint him as this kind of new star. Some Red Sox fans were quick to anoint the Mookie Betts trade as a win for Chaim Bloom, a win for the Red Sox. It's not. Flat out, it isn't. Alex Verdugo has a, you know, OPS of 750 right now. Meanwhile, Jeter Downs is batting 213 in Worcester. And the catcher they got in the deal is batting 157 in Worcester, which is the Coors Field of the minor league. Hell, Franchy Cordero hits in Worcester. So for all the folks who were very quick to say, well, the Red Sox won the trade. No, they didn't. Frankly, you never win the trade when you trade a player like Mookie Betts. I understand that Chaim Bloom was in an impossible spot, but you better hit on the guys that you do have. Verdugo's a hit. He's not a star. He's a fine ball player. He's a hit. But if Downs is this type of player, a 213 hitter, oh boy, you missed. You missed in a big way. You can't just get Alex Verdugo for Mookie Betts. So just keep that in mind for everybody who is calling this a win. It's not a win. You got a guy who's hitting sixth in your lineup tonight. It's not a win. There's no way to say it. Sorry, it's just not. Tom's in Quincy. What's up, Tom? How you doing?
Hey, Matt. What's going on? Hey, the way that the first half ended limping into the All-Star break and the way that the second half is beginning limping out of the All-Star break, they got some serious decisions to make in the next couple weeks before the trade deadline. And I heard you earlier, you guys were talking about the Anthony Rizzo thing. And I was surprised because he's only making $11 million this year.
Yeah, there was a club option. Because he signed a big contract with the Cubs, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. But this is the final year there's a club option. So he's pretty affordable. I think the Red Sox would be on the hook for $6 or $7 million somewhere in there.
I mean, I could live with that. I'd love to have him, to be honest with you. I don't think they'll do it. But it would be nice because they need someone at first. Dahlbeck is not an everyday major league ball player. Not right now, anyway. Yeah. And they got to address this pitching staff, man, because you can't go another half of the year with Perez and Garrett Richards every fifth day. I think they really need to upgrade that. I don't know how the hell they're going to do that. I don't know the guys out there that are even being floated. I heard some talk about the kid Berrios in Minnesota.
Yeah, he's the man, isn't he? He's freaking awesome. I love that guy.
He's a great player. Is that a logical expectation that the Sox could make a run? Well, what would that cost? Because he's still pretty young, isn't he?
Yeah, Tom, it would cost a lot. And thanks for the call. As always, love talking baseball with you. It would cost a hell of a lot. And there were reports over the weekend that the Twins really weren't that interested in trading Berrios. The kid's a stud. I mean, he's a gamer. He knows how to pitch. He's got balls on the mound. He's one of my favorite pitchers in the bigs. But he's got a year and a half left on his contract. And it doesn't sound like the Twins are going to move him. And even if they did, there's just no way Chaim Bloom would give up the prospect capital needed to get a guy like Berrios. I would. I'd give up Duran. I'd give up Downs for a guy like Berrios, a year and a half, cost-controlled. He's 26 years old. He's a stud. He's an ace. I'd do that. And then you re-sign him because you're the Boston Red Sox, and that's what you should do. But they're not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. So I think more likely, Tom, and you know, you're looking at guys who are maybe rentals, a Danny Duffy type, Matt Boyd. These guys are going to be free agents. Although Boyd might have a year left. I got to check on that. But they're not going to cost as much. But you know what? That's fine. You don't need to add Berrios. I'd love to add Berrios. You add Berrios and Chris Sale comes back to me, you should be contending for the World Series. I don't think the Red Sox are going to do that, though. But if you add a middle of the rotation professional starter, guy's going to take the ball every 5 days and is not going to screw you, like a Jake Peavy. You add a Jake Peavy, you might be cooking here. Because then that means Martin Perez isn't going out there every 5 days. That means that Garrett Richards isn't going out there every 5 days. Now we got something. That's exactly what the Red Sox should be doing, and that is not going to cost you that much. That's what you should do. Patrick's in Haverhill. You got a thought on Anthony Rizzo. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, McCarthy. How are you?
What's up?
The only thing I hate more than a first baseman who can only hit home runs and strike out is two of them. They got to get Michael Chavis the hell out of this Red Sox organization. I don't really care how. And the other thing I'm thinking about is with Rizzo. I really liked your idea because he could be the bridge if they could sign him to another team-friendly deal for the second or third year after that. Because quite frankly, Dahlbeck's contact is so atrocious. I don't even see him being an everyday first baseman next year. When the kid makes contact, he hits it up a million miles. But I need my first baseman on base more than what, like 200-300. Like, I don't even know what it is, but it's just not been good. And then the second thing is Chavis' strikeout rate in his career is like 40%, and that guy's just, he's done.
Yeah, Patrick, you're spot on, Patrick. They've got too many strikeouts at first base. They're going to bring up Danny Santana now that Christian Arroyo is hurt. So it's going to be Santana and Dahlbeck. You can't win the pennant with those two guys at first base. No way. You might not win the division, even though I think the division is still theirs for the taking. If those are your first baseman, you got to upgrade. Anthony Rizzo, to me, is the perfect guy because he's not going to cost you a lot in regards to prospect capital. You're not going to have to hand over Tristan Casas to get the guy. Like, you're going to have to give up, you know, some middling guys in the system, but I would do that. I would absolutely do that. He's a winner. He's a gamer. You drafted him. That's kind of cool. Like, I know he comes back here. That's not the reason you make the trade, but it's a perfect fit. The guy's been there and he's done that. He's won a World Series. He would bring kind of a real veteran presence to this team. Another guy who's been there and done that. It feels like he'd fit in really, really well. The question is, are they going to be willing to go over the tax? The Red Sox are $1 million away from going over the tax. The tax is $210 million. Red Sox current allotments, $209 million. So you reset your tax penalties. Now let's see how aggressive you are. Now let's see how willing you are to go out and add an Anthony Rizzo if he falls into your lap. If he's available, you know, cheap price, there you go. That's what you do. That's absolutely what you do. That's what I would do. The question is it what the Red Sox will do? I don't think so. Not for a guy like Rizzo. I think they'll look at the cost and say too much. I don't know. I think that's a good fit. I do. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm coming in a week and a half from now saying, man, they went out and added Rizzo and, you know, they added a starting pitcher, a Matt Boyd. Okay, there we go. Now you bring Chris Sale in. Now you bring Duran in. You bring Houck up. Let's go. You're in the mix. I hope that's what I'm saying a week and a half from now. Something I worry that I'm not going to be. 617-779-0985. I want to get into the thoughts from the weekend as well. Red Sox really got screwed on Saturday. They got flat out screwed. And we can continue to take your thoughts on Verdugo and the trade deadline coming up. It's Matt McCarthy in for Maz here on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Whether it's happening on the field or off, Maz is talking about it.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
The Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
McCarthy in for Maz. It's the Baseball Hour, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you, 617-779-0985. Sox opening up a three-game set with the Blue Jays tonight in Buffalo, before the Blue Jays then finally move back home to Toronto. So the Red Sox will have played Toronto in four different locations this year. Boston, Dunedin, Florida, Buffalo, and the first week of August in Toronto. So how about that? So Nick Pivetta on the mound tonight. Alex Verdugo dropped to sixth in the batting order as he continues to struggle at the plate. Had three strikeouts last night. Just not good. Just overall, an ugly series for the Red Sox, an ugly weekend where it felt like some things didn't go their way. Maybe they got in their way a little bit. Steve's in Carver. Steve, I know you were at the games over the weekend. You called on Friday. You said you were going to the games. You feel like the Red Sox really got screwed on Saturday in the rain?
Oh, my God. And I'm not even a fanboy. So it starts with the one-hour rain delay, right, Matt? It didn't rain once, not even during that rain delay. It didn't rain a drop that entire day. There was no rain. So if you talk to anybody that was there, zero rain was falling during that rain delay. And then you go to the cancellation of the game. I stayed during that entire rain delay. It was playable. That was ridiculous that they called that game. And, of course, it was right after the Yankees score a couple runs. I mean, I'm sure if the Yankees were losing, that game would have kept on going. But I think the main point for this is the Red Sox kind of lost their minds. So Alex Cora, between innings, I don't think the cameras picked up on it, was out there arguing with the umps every inning. You had Pilecki and the bench coach get tossed from the dugout. You had like Eovaldi staring down Rougned Odor. You had Rafael Devers staring down Gerrit Cole. I think the rain delay pissed him off for some reason, but like, dude, the Red Sox haven't lost to the Yankees yet at this point, and they lost their mind. So they got screwed over, but I don't think they handled it well. So not a good sign, I think, going forward for this team. I think it kind of sped up on them, and that was like a playoff game. So
yeah.
I didn't like what I saw.
You know what, Steve, spot on. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. They got screwed. Plain and simple, the way it was handled, and Cora wasn't upset about the initial delay. I guess they had some conference call before the game saying that, well, you know, we might be getting rain here, so they didn't want to start the game, go into a delay, and then lose the starting pitchers. Everything just kind of backfired, though. The umpires had a horrible night. That fifth inning was a joke. I had an inning like that one time, umpiring my long-time travels as a youth baseball umpire on the South Shore and the South Coast. I had an inning like that once. I think I'm still a wanted man in Wareham. I got the hell out of there that night, let me tell you that. That was it doesn't get much worse than that fifth inning for the umpires in the Bronx on Saturday night. It was bad. The way they handled the rain delay, it was bad. Calling that game when it was not rain, it was bad. It was bad, plain and simple. But the Red Sox still came unraveled too. Yeah, things didn't break their way. Yeah, it kind of felt like they got screwed Saturday night. It kind of, the fix was in, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But they didn't handle it all that well. Jerry in Brookline, you actually don't think that the Saturday night was a total screw job?
No, because both all the teams in the league play that kind of a game. I was at a Red Sox game a few years ago against the White Sox, and the Red Sox were losing 2-1, and in the fifth inning, it starts pouring buckets, and the game goes on, and they tie up the game in the bottom of the seventh, and all of a sudden, oh, let's take out the tarp and cover the field, and 45 minutes later, the game gets suspended, and they have to finish at a different night. So, I mean, they played two innings in torrential rain until the Red Sox were able to tie up the game, and then all of a sudden they can't play anymore.
Yeah, Jerry, I don't know what you're talking about. I know you're talking about a previous experience. I don't know how that has to do with Saturday. They were playing in torrential rain for two innings. The Yankees went ahead, then they went into a rain delay, and they bagged the game. And they had two delays where it wasn't raining, and they didn't start the game, and then they ended the game. So if you're a Red Sox fan, I can understand why you're upset by that. It's one game in the grand scheme of things. It's one game in 162. I'm much more upset, I would say, about last night because the Red Sox just played like ass. They did. Martin Perez has turned back into a pumpkin. Brandon Workman is unfortunately no longer a big league pitcher. I was always a fan of Workman. The fastball's gone. It's just, what more can you say? By the way, Heim Bloom getting Pivetta for Workman last year, total steal, complete and total steal. But I'm more frustrated by last night, particularly with the way the series started, too. You get a really good start from Rodriguez on Friday night. That might have been his best start of the year. It's certainly up there. So you feel good. You're coming out of the All-Star break. Here we go. Things don't go your way on Saturday and you just unravel on Sunday. You haven't seen that too much from this Red Sox team. This kind of feels like a big series against the Blue Jays. You haven't played well for the last week, week and a half. You go up there, you right the ship. That's what the Red Sox did after a frustrating and bad series in Tampa. What, now we're talking just under a month ago when they went to Tampa, dropped 2 out of 3. You lose the game where you give up 2 hits. You win on the wild pitch or you lose on the wild pitch. What'd they do? They bounce back. I think they won 7 in a row after that. It was 7 or 8, somewhere in there. Let's see if the Red Sox do that here. They have been a resilient team all year. That's been their calling card. Let's see if it shows up here. But make no mistake about it, their flaws are starting to get exposed. And they need to improve on that at the deadline. Absolutely they do. Kenny's in Boston. That's what he wants to talk about. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, guys. I think all of the moves that you guys have mentioned, Boyd, Duffy, Berrios, whoever these guys are, I think they're low-budget moves. I think they're 3 or 4 guys that are going to, you know, they're gonna help you down the stretch, but they're not going to put you over the top. This team does not have a stud at the top. This team does not have that number one guy. Call me crazy, but getting a number one guy puts you over the top. 3 or 4 guys don't put you over the top. My thing is, go get Scherzer. Might cost you a lot. He's on the last year of his contract, but it won't cost you as much as if he had 3 or 4 years left on his contract. That guy's a workhorse. He will put you over the top. Who knows what Sale's gonna do when he comes back? You're counting on Sale and you're counting on Boyd, Duffy, and Berrios. None of those guys are putting you over the top.
Berrios is an ace, though, Kenny. I understand what you're saying. I just want to interject. Berrios is a stud.
Is he a Scherzer? No, he's not. He's not a Scherzer.
Yeah, he's not a Hall of Fame pitcher yet. But I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to argue with you guys. The guys that you mentioned, I'd love to have them all. I'd love to have them all. Not debating those guys.
Sure.
But like you said, Berrios is a little bit more better than what I'm giving him credit for. But Scherzer will put you over the top. I know we don't want to be giving up our number one and number two prospects. But anyone outside our top two guys, they want 2 or 3 prospects, give them up. 2 or 3 years down the line, you don't want to say, oh, that guy really turned out to be a dud. We should have given him up.
Kenny, you know what? Spot on. If you feel that way, I totally get that sentiment. If there are Red Sox fans who feel that way, that go for it this year, get a Max Scherzer, give up what it costs, I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. I'm not giving up Tristan Casas for anybody, frankly. I'm not doing that because I think he's a stud. You want to trade Jeter Downs? The right deal? Go for it. Absolutely. I would do that. I would prefer somebody with term. If you're trading prospects, as much as I like Scherzer, as much as a workhorse as he is, you're going to Cooperstown when he retires. All right, the man could start walking there right now. As much as I like him, and the Nationals are starting to fall out of it here, they're 6 games back in the NL East. Do they eventually become sellers? I would lean towards, if you're going, to spend some prospect capital on somebody, I would prefer Berrios. I would prefer Marquez over Scherzer just because they have term. I'm just not giving up, you know, Casas or Meyer, you know, or anybody like that for Scherzer. Downs I'd have to consider. Downs I would absolutely have to consider. Because I don't know if you have anything there. And if you're down on him, then maybe you make that trade. Not to say I don't think it's worth talking about, because it is, because that's what the next 11 days are for, talking about who's going to get moved at the deadline and how aggressive should the Red Sox be. I'm telling you right now, there's no way Chaim Bloom is paying the cost for a Max Scherzer type. It's just not going to happen. Marquez and Berrios, maybe a little bit more realistic because they have term. Simply put, they're cost controlled, they're young. Berrios has his deal goes on for a year and a half. I think Marquez is 2.5 more years, maybe even 3.5 more years with a club option. Those are the guys you pay for. Those are the guys that I think maybe they'd be willing to pay for. A rental at what Scherzer would cost you, I have a hard time seeing it. And you know what? I understand the baseball argument for that. I do. What I will not accept as a Red Sox fan is we didn't get Anthony Rizzo because we didn't want to go into the tax. You reset the tax penalties by getting rid of Mookie Betts. Go back into the tax if you have to. If Anthony Rizzo is available, not to say for a song, but if Anthony Rizzo is available at a reasonable price, I don't want to hear that the Red Sox didn't get him because they didn't want to pay him $7 million or whatever his prorated salary would be. Somewhere in there, I was told there would be no math. Not very good at math. That's why I got into this business. That's why I'm not over at MIT getting my degree there in robotics and then becoming general manager at the Boston Red Sox. Because I think that's fairly certain how you go about getting those positions in baseball. Just wouldn't do that. 617-779-0985. We've got one segment to go. We'll lead into the night program tonight. I think Sean Silver's in for Adam Jones. We will wrap up the baseball hour coming up next.
The show that's all about baseball.
The Baseball Hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.